ってない
。Forget harder, maybe. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, that'd be really wonderful. Okay, I might have to turn the light a bit. Okay, let's. I want to talk today about pleasing God. And so let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 5 to start with. So I won't be seeing this for a few weeks because I'm going to Uganda on Thursday till the 27th of January. So it's a bit like the end of last year. We were away for a couple of months, but anyway, it'll only be 2 weeks. You can pray for me though. That'd be good. Okay. So we're talking about faith. Got it? Verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith it's impossible to please God. You got that? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Okay, so a whole lot of there things that it could take about a week to talk about, because there's such a lot of gold right there. But pleasing God. Okay, so the word really, pleasing God, is about gratifying. Gratifying God. It's about, what's the word I've got? Entirely gratifying. That's what the Greek word means. To please God is to gratify him entirely. Mm. It's to be sold out in your life for him. I'm 81. I got born again when I was, I don't know, 34 or something like that, from a bad life, a broken marriage, and broken life, broken, all broken. You know, we could go on forever and say, but don't want to look at that, do we? I want to look at how good God is. Amen? So I got born again there by the Spirit of God one night when a young man led me to Christ, and he came down the next night and said, we want to lay hands on you, baptize in the Holy Spirit. Well, what happened to me that first 24 hours was like, hello, there's blue skies, there's green grass, not grey anymore. Things happened, things changed. And so I said, yeah, lay hands on me, go for it. You know, did I speak in tongues? No, but something happened about the Bible. It became alive. All these words in the Bible came first to me. It's like God was speaking first hand to me. From that time onwards, my life just was electrified and changed and became a wild idiot for God. A crazy gun for God.
Praise God.
Amen? Yeah. Amen. So it's still there today at 81 years of age. I don't know what it means, and I don't want to say, put this to anyone down who's had trouble like backsliding or anything, but I haven't experienced that. And I'm not putting it down, I'm just saying it is possible to live that if you want to do it. Now I say that with all love in my heart to you today, all right? It is possible. It is possible to stand, just as that song said, to stand for Jesus and put the stuff away, all right? Mm-hmm. It really is possible. Now I join a group of people through the world, that's possible, but as the song said, amen? And so putting it out there for you today to say it's possible to please God. But I'm on the edge of the knife saying this because he's already pleased with us. Through the cross, Jesus took the pain, took the sin away, took all the separation between us and God away totally. All right. So when the writer of the Hebrews writes this, it must mean something different. All right? So here, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. So yes, we have saving faith that can save us for sure. But let's look at verse 1 and 2. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Oh, this word commended lines up with pleasing God. So this is interesting. Now we've got faith that actually pleases God. All right? So there must be something that's different here. We're already pleased by God because of the cross, the blood that was shed for us. Amen? And we're ready to go to heaven even though we're set in some sense there at the moment because Jesus took us with him. Right? But with the completeness of it is when we lift it up and go to be with it forever. Is that right? We're made perfect then. We're all on the same page?
Amen.
Good. Okay, so there must be something. But James says something in chapter 2. He says, faith without deeds or actions is dead. Mm. Right. Okay, it must mean something connected to actions, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Okay, so I look at it and I think, faith for salvation, if there was an action that happened. God grants faith to be saved because he chose us. Yeah, all right, but there must be something to do with faith that's some sort of generating force for something else. And I like it like this. I see faith that can be like a hose. All right? Now, a hose, when it's turned on at the tap and you turn it on flat out and it's turned off at the nozzle, it's got about 100 pounds pressure in the old language, you know? When I open it up, it's still the same pressure, but it's called dynamic. It's flowing. It has a purpose now. There's a purpose. When the nozzle's tightened up, it has a purpose, but it's going nowhere. You can say, I've got all the faith in the world. And then James says, yeah, but show me. Show me what you do. Show me who you are. Show me the action. You know, this is what God's saying. Faith that pleases him is a movement. It's a Christian that moves. There are probably 80% of Christians in Australia that don't live like that. They're believers. They go to church on Sunday and that's it. There's nothing else in their lives. They don't talk to anyone about the Lord. They don't do good deeds. They don't live a life that's like, show me Jesus. Well, he's here today. Mm. No? They don't live like that, to be honest with you. I've been around enough churches to know that. So a hose wets everything. A hose, when it's flat out, will knock things over, like big fire, like when I worked in the coal mine, Fingal. I was on the mine rescue team, and we had to hold that hose underground, about 4 inches, 100 millimetres round type of hose, and we had two of us at the head of it doing our practice to see, you know, putting fires out. So, you ready? Yeah, we're nearly ready. Right, we're ready! You know, shouting down the track. Right, here it comes! And then they knock you over. The force was so powerful. That's what it's like for us. Mm. See, there's a connection here. All right, so I'm talking about a difference between a believer and a faith-filled believer. Mm. A faith-filled believer is motivated because there's faith beyond salvation. There's faith, yes, for good works, but not good works to say to God, look what I've done for you. That doesn't work. Okay? Same as I remember a lady in our church years ago said, I don't understand why we've got all these troubles, you know. I keep repeating, and so surely I'll get the reward. And I'm thinking, hello, you're trying to milk the cow, you know. God's all like that. You're just approaching by my Father. That's those promises of God. Yes and amen in Christ. Amen. So we stand before the throne. We stand like sons. If I say daughters, sons, it means sons and daughters, because there's no gender. All right, stand like our sons, sonship. Amen? It's really important, even though you're young, it's important to stand today before the throne like that. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Hobart just before Christmas, and our young 11-year-old grandson, who loves God, got baptized. It was such a thrill to see him. He's one that has faith in him. He stands up, he discusses at school, in a Christian school, whether God's real or not, and things like that, and challenges people, and so on. Not that he's up here or anything, but he's got faith that pleases God. All right? Amen? Now, you might be at the stall here, which you are often, and I know from what I hear from people that pass by or buy things, you know, these girls are great, they're amazing. They challenge us about being Christians. The challenge is about coming to church. You know, there's an active, isn't there? There's an active part of faith there. You're sharing your faith with somebody else. Now, so the thing about belief is rather interesting because in James, it says further in chapter 2, even the demons believe and shudder. Huh. Is it the same word as earlier believing for Christians? Yes, it is. It's interesting when you look in the Greek that those three or four words about believe are attached to faith. They're so close to one another. You think, oh, how does this work out? It's got to do with action. It really has got to do with what you think, how you please God, in the sense of you're gratifying Him in your life. A pure, holy life. Does that mean you can't do some things? Why don't you ask the Lord? You probably remember the story, do you? About the boy that went to the pastor and said, "Pastor, there's a film on that movie I'd like to really see. Would Jesus want me to see it?" And the pastor wise said, "Well, why don't you take Jesus to the pictures with you? Or to the movie with you?" And he did. He came up to the lady at the movie stall, you know, and he said, "I have two tickets, please." And she said, "But there's only one of you." "That's right, Jesus is coming with me." And so she went in, he went in, inside, and later on, next week, the pastor said to him, "How did the movie go?" He said, "Oh, look, we left early." And he said, "Why did you leave early?" He said, "Jesus didn't like the movie." All right? So that's the sort of faith, isn't it? That's the sort of relationship that's so close and in our hearts. That's really important in today's world, especially today, because of the condition of the world around us. I believe that we can expect this year a lot of people want to come and talk to us about Jesus because of the need in their hearts. So be prepared for something at school, at wherever you are, you know, at the store, you know, for me, overseas or anywhere around. Flying on a plane, I just love to sit beside somebody who wants to talk, because then I can talk to them about Jesus, you know, somewhere along the line. Surprising the amount of people want to shift seats when you do that. I remember being on a plane and some years ago now, and this girl was dressed in black and black and black. She's a goth, you know. And she had a book on witchcraft, reading, and I started, you know, praying in tongues and just quietly under my breath and praying for her, just quietly. She couldn't really hear me. But she shut her shift like this, closed her book, leaned against the window and went, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." Amen, the power of God, that right?
Yeah, amen.
Believe. So, Paul and Silas in jail. Oh, God, what did you do that for? Why did you put those guys there for? Well, how else were they going to hear the gospel in the jail if God didn't put them in the jail? You know? They were put there to save the inmates. They were there to save the jailer himself and all his family. And you think, oh, that's a bit sad. No, it's not. What's the price of a soul? Amen. So there's faith taking us into strange places. I remember years ago in the Philippines when the New People's Army were there in the 80s. And people said, "Why are you going there? Why are you going to that place? You know, the communist army's there. You know, you could die." I said, "Yeah, well, that's all right. Where am I going? I'm going home." And you know, and you think, why would you worry about life around us? Our salvation, our place with God is too precious. Amen? Too precious, too gratifying entirely. Jesus. Amen? So what about William Carey, the father of missions? Had to give up his life for something. What about the guy George Mueller, who was the father of orphanages, if you like, and people who said, "Oh, you know, people today say, oh, can you, you know, I'm building a house for Jesus. You know, I really need help for money." You know, like, but he didn't. He went to the Lord all the time. Never asked anybody for anything. He just prayed and asked the Lord, and stuff turned up. How's that? Amen? Yeah? So these giants, we call them giants of faith, they're just like you and I. And they're giants because they've applied their faith. You're a giant because you apply your faith as well in the direction God wants you to have. Amen? So pleading with God is really not going to get much from God. He wants you to stand up on the promises that He's given us and to prove Him to the people around us. And when the people start to moan, including Christians, stand up. Start to speak the righteousness of God into their lives. Amen? Don't be like that. Don't speak like that. Cleanse your mouth. You know? I owe that to my wonderful wife. She's very positive in her. And when I first met her, I was a very critical person because I was wounded in my heart. And critical, you know, and bluesy. You know, everything was bad. And one time she'd read a book before we were married. She read a book about taming the tongue. It was probably called something else, but that was the object. And so she started on me really well about taming my tongue. and it's done a good, she's done a good job. Yeah,
I believe so.
I don't know. Amen. Praise God. So, look, the claiming sonship. So, what do you do then when things get bluey? What do you do? Well, doesn't it, the Bible say so? Ephesians 6. When you've done all to stand, stand therefore. Oh, not like that. Because the victory belongs to Jesus who lives in you. Is that right? Amen? And it might take a while. That's all right. God's got plenty of time. And he's not going to be short in your time. He makes everything right in its time. It was a song I remember years ago. Everything right in its time. Amen? So, faith without works is dead. It's impossible to please God without faith. Is that right? So let me think about it. Mary and Martha. Let's think about them. Remember them in the house when Jesus was sitting on the stool and Mary was on the floor in front of him and Martha was around doing many things and Jesus said to her, hey, Martha, why are you busy doing many things? Because she wanted to be satisfied, Jesus, and make her house nice.
True.
It sounded nice. But he said, nah, come on, Mary's chosen the best portion. But we find out later on that that Martha wasn't like that all the time. She was by faith operating to please him. You know? But now he's saying a higher level. Come and gratify me because I won't be with you for too much longer. Okay? So you can see how faith works in different ways. So, praise the Lord. So Hebrews 11, verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Notice that. My hope is to go out and knock off 120. I'm looking forward to it. But nevertheless, if not, what are we going to do? All these people were still living by faith when they died. It'll happen one day, unless Jesus comes back, no matter how old you are. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have opportunity to return. Instead, they are longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen. Today. So are you encouraged? Today?
Amen.
Can we pray? Father, thank you for your great love. You are not a rejecter of us. You're a lover of us. You don't have to even reach out your hands because you live in us, which is quite an amazing concept. And so, Father, I pray for each one of us in this room today that we will grow in faith. We will challenge the things around us that are an opportunity for light to come. And so, Father, I pray that we will continue to love you more and more and more. As we see you in the Word, as we see you working every day in our lives, we say that you are good and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. No clock. That's what happened.